In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's Mass is being offered for the most lost souls, as we always do on these Thursdays. Now for the readings in the vernacular. The epistle comes from the Epistle of St. Paul to the Romans. Brethren, with the heart we believe unto justice, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whoever believeth in him shall not be confounded. For there is no distinction of Jew and of the Greek. For the same Lord is Lord over all, rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? Or how can they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, of them that bring glad tidings of good things. But all do not obey the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who hath believed our report? Faith then cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. But I say, have they not heard? Yea, verily, their sound hath gone forth unto all the earth, their words to the ends of the whole world. Thus concludes the epistle. Please stand for the continuation of the Holy Gospel according to Mark. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and they shall drink any deadly thing. It shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. Thus concludes the continuation of the Holy Gospel. You may be seated. Today we celebrate this great feast day of St. Francis Xavier, one of the great saints of the church. I hope you know a thing or two about him, because he is such a spectacular example of something we often speak about here at Mass, which is zeal for souls. Most of you aren't seminarians or priests, but maybe you've heard it just from me or from your good priest who's spoken to you about this. But it used to be within the old text that would prepare a man to be a priest, to prepare a man through his seminary journey, to make him a really good missionary, to make him a really good religious who would be out in the world. The one thing that would mark him for, yes, he's one who's on the path toward ordination, should continue, the mark of the good priest, the mark of the good seminarian, was zeal for souls. Zeal for souls. That was the one thing that marked out one who was actually living out the call and responding well to what God was actually doing in him. And a confirmation of the call was that zeal for souls, that zealousness to see God's work continually worked out within his life and also spread to those who are around him. Well, St. Francis Xavier, he had this in spades. He was given a great many talents, and so he went to go study at the greatest university of his time to be able to use his talents in a way that would benefit himself in some sort of way, to show his greatness and benefit his family just as the normal course of things. When he was there studying, he had a friend, a man who also recognized his talents in there, and that happened to be the great Saint Ignatius of Loyola. You know about him, the founder of the Jesuits. And he put one thing to him that really stirred within the soul of this young saint, St. Francis Xavier. He read from him the scripture, which many of us know as well, but we see beautifully put out on the in the film Man for All Seasons, the very end of it, where St. Thomas More speaks to his betrayer with these words. He says what? What profiteth a man if he were to regain the entire world, the whole world, yet if he were to lose his very soul? St. Thomas More says it in the film, saying, But for Wales, a small little country, why would you do it for that little part when not even gaining the entire world would be worth it? When St. Francis Xavier was challenged by St. Ignatius about this, when he was pursuing to use his gifts to benefit himself and for those who were in his family and to make a great man out of himself, he really was a man who took these things to heart and out of prayer realized that he couldn't go in the direction that he was. And so he gave himself and said, I want to follow you, Ignatius. You tell me where to go. I want to gain things that last. I don't want to lose my soul. And I want to gain souls for Christ. And so pursuing in that same moment, he became one of the first original of the members of the Company of Jesus, the Society of Jesus that was there in the Jesuits. And so he went with Ignatius all the places they went. The original movement of the Jesuits was first to go out to spread the gospel, particularly to the Moors, to convert the Mahometans, those who were killing Christians, the Muslims who were there, and so to witness to them and thereby lose their lives for Christ right there. But as it would happen, God didn't permit that voyage to occur. So they said, because of the bad weather that was there, they went and stopped by at Rome, hoping that better things would be able to be done from there than from southern Spain where they went to go. And so they went and passed some time there in Spain or in Rome, hoping to do some good work and then to journey down there. And so as they waited, the first work of the Jesuits was to work with prostitutes and to be able to convert them to a life of Christ and dissolution, a very dangerous ministry to be able to do so, given that most men fall by that very same vice. Yet they were restoring these particular women a great virtue. And they purposed, well, if not by a certain time that we're not able to gain passage to the Muslim countries there here from Rome, then we will do whatever it is and ask the Holy Father, show us, we will go and do whatever it is that you want. Total obedience to you. And as God would have it, they wouldn't be able to make that trip down there. God had something greater for the Jesuit order and these early Jesuits at this time, so prevented that voyage from taking place. And so they put themselves totally at the command of the Holy Father, who asked him to go and to make sure that through their learning, they would be able to educate and to be able to convert other souls, not just to throw their lives away down there and become martyrs, but to give themselves to becoming missionaries in other ways. Well, St. Francis Xavier, pick up on his story, where he was longing to be able to go out and to go to the far edges, because his whole movement was, I'm not going to gain the world, but I want to gain the world for Christ, not for myself, but for the Lord. And so he would do what? He was hoping that he'd be able to gain passage on a ship that was headed out to the east. And because one of his companions grew sick, he was able to be put in a spot. And so relishing that opportunity, he went and took command of that and went all the way out. Where did he journey? He journeyed all the way out into the east, going even as far as Japan, where he said, here it is that we have found the most virtuous of all the pagans, and actually worked to convert them all. There was a great number of Japanese who were beginning to convert in that place because they saw the beauty of the gospel, that ancient culture. Then he would come back. He went all the way out to India and stopped there and did great things, converting them by the hundreds and thousands at a time, tens of thousands at a time, I think, in one case. And then finally, he even went to mainland China to be able to give his life there as finally breathing his last. The thing that marked him most was a zeal for souls. And down within the notes of this particular live stream, you'll see a prayer that I put there of St. Ignatius, or rather of St. Francis Xavier. He used to say this over and over again. He said his prayer to God would be this breath-like prayer, this aspiration that he could just cycle in with each one of his breaths out and in. He'd say, give me souls. Give me souls. Give me souls. Give me souls, as it breathed back in. That was the one thing that marked his love for God. Give me souls. The one thing that motivated him above all else was a zeal that souls could not be gained for him, that he would be great, but gained for the Lord, that God's name would be great among them. So I want to give you a little reading that is often given during this time from two letters of St. Francis Xavier that say his heart for those who were there and how he could not rest until he would preach the gospel. This is what he says, writing of his journeys in India there. He said, "We have visited the villages of the new converts who accepted the Christian religion years ago, a few years ago. No Portuguese lived here. The country was so utterly barren and poor. The native Christians, they have no priests. They know only that they are Christians. There is nobody to say Mass for them, nobody to teach them the creed, the Our Father, the Hail Mary, and the commandments of God's law. I have not stopped since the day I arrived. I consciously made the rounds of the villages, bathed them in the sacred waters of baptism, all the children who had not yet been baptized. This means I have purified very large number of children, so young that, as the saying goes, they could not tell their right hand from their left. The older children could not let me even say my office," that's the breviary, which the priest prays seven times a day, "would not let me say my office or even eat or sleep until I taught them one prayer or another. Then I began to understand the saying of the scriptures," quote, "the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these," end quotation. "I could not refuse so devout a request without falling in devotion myself. So I taught them the first confession of faith in the Our Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then I told them the Apostles' Creed. I taught them to say the Our Father. I taught them the Hail Mary. And I noticed among them persons of great intelligence. If only someone could educate them in the Christian way of life, I have absolutely no doubt that they would make excellent Christians. Many, many people hereabouts are not becoming Christians for one reason only." Pay attention to this. "For one reason only, they're not becoming Christians. There is nobody to make them Christians. Again, I have thought of going around the universities of Europe, especially Paris, where he himself was taught, the greatest university of all of Europe, there in Paris. And everywhere, crying out like a madman, riveting the attention of those who are learning, with more learning than they have charity, saying, quote, 'What a tragedy! How many souls are being shut out of heaven and falling into hell thanks to you?' Because they had more learning than they had charity. Because they wanted to be something great in the eyes of others and go off on all sorts of ways exploring the far reaches of theology, but not giving that theology to others, holding it for themselves or making themselves great in the eyes of men. That would have been a riveting sermon to be able to be heard. I wish that the same sort of sermons would be preached even in our own seminaries and our parishes. What great difference it would make." Continue on with his letter. He says, "I wish they would work as hard as this at their books, so to settle their accounts with God for their learning and their talents which he has entrusted to them. Because what has been given to many, what has been entrusted, shows great responsibility. He has been entrusted with much, much will be required." Continuing on, he says, "This thought certainly would stir most of them to meditate on the spiritual realities, to listen actively to what God is saying to them, and they would forget their desires, their human affairs, and give themselves over entirely to God's will and his choice. They would cry out with all their heart, 'Lord, here I am. What do you want me to do?'" That's quoting from the Old Testament. Quoting from the Old Testament, where it says, Samuel said that, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Send me away anywhere you like," he goes, even unto India. That was the movement of the zeal for souls that this man had. Well, what is there in that for you and for me? When we hear the word of God, are we struck to the quick like the saints are? The saints, what happens? We see them in the lives of their saints. They hear a word of God, whether it's spoken in the gospel when they're listening at Mass, or whether it's in a conversation when somebody's really putting something there to them, where they have that movement within their heart and they go, "Ah, I'm cut in this way. Let me go away and pray on that for a moment and see what it really means, because, man, I'm not living that out." Or is it like probably what normally happens? We hear that word, it burns in our hearts, then we go out and say, "Ah, that was a good note. It's good to go out with that," and then we put it away because we immediately go off into our entertainments. We watch football. We go off and do these other things. Nothing wrong with those entertainments, but there is something wrong if it drives us away from more weighty realities on which we will be judged. Do we actually take those words to heart? Let them marinate within our souls and then act upon them. The life of St. Francis Xavier is marked by one that we remember now, not because he stayed in the halls of study there and wrote great theology works, which is a good thing, but because he went out and baptized, because he went out and acted, because he went out and shared the gospel with those who needed it, because he responded to the word of God first himself. And out of that response, he was able to show others how to make a similar response just as he. Ask our Lord for that great grace, for that movement not to be caught up in the things of this life, which so easily do distract, and many of them are so weighty and indeed important. But are we responding to the word of God immediately when we hear it? St. Francis Xavier did that, and because of that, we hold him to the altar today. The same is true for you and me. If you're struggling with that, and I can say I struggle with that as well, we have a great intercessor in St. Francis Xavier, this one whose zeal for souls. Pray with him today. Lord, give me souls. Lord, give me souls. Lord, give me souls.